Sweat the Technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Come on out, Decoy Throwback Thursday, $2 off tequila shots, $100 select bottles tonight. Ladies' Night Friday, Big Sip Saturday. This is always your spot to catch the fights. UFC, boxing, never a cover, free combat sports. UFC, the boxing, also sand volleyball courts. You can rent them out at any time. They have a big tournament coming up this weekend, too. So that's your thing. The Decoy is your spot. 713-780-ESPN. Nico Collins, lock him up now or wait a year and decide then? You guys were talking about Davante Adams and his numbers. What'd you learn, Brian?
Yeah, so the Davante Adams, those first 2 years in Vegas, was absolutely fantastic. So the first year, as I'm pulling his exact numbers back up, but he was over 100 catches, over 1,500 yards, and I believe 14 touchdowns. So, yeah, first year in Vegas, 100 catches, 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns. Second year in Vegas, 103 for 1,144 and 8. So, I mean, arguably some drop-off last year.
No, you're right.
But still, I mean, definitely a top-half wide receiver one.
How long was his contract for, the 27.5?
I don't know. I mean, he spent 2 years in Vegas, but I don't know exactly how long his contract is off the top of my head.
I think there's some receivers who are quarterback-proof that are going to produce with anybody. DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson. And I think there are quarterbacks.
Hopkins except for Osweiler.
Okay.
No one's Osweiler-proof.
Yeah. No one's Osweiler-proof. And then there's quarterbacks that I think are receiver-proof. Like, if you have an – and I think Mahomes is an example
Mahomes
of this.
Last year, for sure.
Like, look at how the Kansas City Chiefs have built their receiver room around Mahomes in the last couple of years. They traded away Tyreek Hill. Oh, no, the Kansas City Chiefs are never going to survive that. Some people were picking, was it the Broncos and the Raiders to finish better than Kansas City?
Yep.
And what did Kansas City do in the 2 years that they didn't have Tyreek Hill? They did the whole Carlos Correa. They're never going to recover from the mound visits. They won the championship in back-to-back seasons. Now the Chiefs are willing to spend some draft capital trying to help out the receiver room, but I don't think they're ever going to spend big money at the receiver position because they have Pat freaking Mahomes.
There's no doubt.
So is C.J. Stroud in that territory to where it doesn't make sense to spend big money on receiver because it's a salary cap league and you want to spread the money out elsewhere knowing you're going to get production at receiver because your quarterback's so stinking good?
And don't you also think that lends itself to saying there's no reason to believe CJ's going to have any drop-off at all? You see him for another year, you know that there is no sophomore slump. He's not going to have the drop-off. Nico then has the year, and then you can react accordingly and then go from there. I have concerns about Nico. I don't have concerns about CJ. I have some concerns.
What are your concerns about Nico?
I don't think it's because of the system and CJ and the fact that he spreads it around and the fact that I need to see more of Nico to consider him being wide receiver one money in that tier of a wide receiver one at the highest level of pay.
Now, I don't think he would get Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill money right now. I think if he's asking for that, then it's a hard no. It's no. Like, where's our savings there?
Agreed.
If you're asking for top five wide receiver money, then why are we doing this right now? We're not saving anything. It makes way more sense for us to.
What's the threshold, 25?
It depends on the savings from the top tier. Like how much the top receivers are making, like $40 million.
Well, no, Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed for 30 some a year.
But he's not the top receiver.
I think AJ Brown the top on the AAV?
Yeah, the two that just re-upped were both Philadelphia receivers,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, Devonta Smith and AJ Brown.
Yeah.
I think AJ Brown was over 30 million AAV,
and then,
wasn't he?
Amon-Ra signed right after that.
The biggest wide receiver money in terms of AAV is $32 million, A.J. Brown. So not 40, 32. Top 10 is $23 million. This is AAV. Calvin Ridley, 23. Like, I would need it to be.
I said 25.
Right now? Were you doing it now?
Yeah,
I would need it to be
now,
20.
Okay.
If I'm doing it now. The franchise tag's 21. So, like, why are you going? Why are you going 21-8? So, like, why would you go over the franchise tag? You could pay Nico Collins right now in a rookie deal. Franchise tag him next year, and he'll go up to maybe $23 million on the franchise tag. Why give him over that right now? It makes no sense from a cap perspective.
Yep. He just convinced me even more.
I'm
not trying to lock him down now.
He needs to sign for under the franchise tag if I'm going to give him multi-years.
There's no way he and his agent are doing that.
I'm not giving him more than what the franchise tag's going to be. And quite frankly, do you want long-term deals from football players? So you
I
have
don't
like,
think so.
Do you have the whole, is CJ Stroud receiver-proof? You have how much savings are you actually getting from underneath the franchise tag? Where you have Nico Collins for two more years if you want him. You have him in the final year of a rookie deal, and you have him under the tag. You're guaranteed two more years of Nico Collins if you choose.
I would, yeah, and I agree with you on the what he would actually take would matter. If he's going to want something north of 25, then I push my chair out from the table and I walk away from the conversation.
What's your number? Because you're more pro Nico.
Yeah, no, right. You're right about the number. Right, like right about $20 million. Like 3 years, 60. I could be maybe talked into 4 years, 80.
And that I'm okay with, and like, if you want to incentive late in it where you can incentivize him, if he's like, if he hits these certain thresholds where it pays him top five money, cool. Like, go chase your money.
Yeah,
I'm
if
cool
he earns
with that.
It, he earns it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm cool with that part of it.
I would push back, though, on the idea of CJ being wide receiver proof. I mean, there obviously have been quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, you guys have brought it up, Aaron Rodgers for a long time, even though he had some really good wide receivers like Greg Jennings, was, Jordy as well, fairly wide receiver proof. And look, maybe Stroud will develop into that, but what we've seen from him so far isn't that. In two games against the Ravens, zero touchdown passes. We saw him get dominated by the Jets defense on the road. This is a team that when Tank went down and they didn't have the other options after Nico, you saw Stroud. If Nico wasn't open, he didn't have anywhere to go with the ball. Wow. I don't think this is a quarterback, and I think he can get there. I don't think this is a quarterback yet you could say, oh, we don't need to pay wide receivers because he can make every guy. He didn't show you that. As good as he was, he didn't show you that last year.
Well, first of all, this is a different receiver room this year, too, but
I think that speaks to Brian's
Yeah, I know,
point,
but
though,
he did get the most out of Noah Brown.
The team's actions actually defend what Brian's saying because they traded for Stephon Diggs, and they've kind of rented him, too.
If you're saying about CJ not being receiver proof yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet. The Jets game was in the pouring rain. And
Zach Wilson didn't have a problem.
That says more about the Texans' defense.
Yeah, he got concussed,
maybe so.
And he got hurt. And in week one, that's his first game ever in the NFL at Baltimore.
And he might have already been concussed in New York, too, remember? Remember when we were stirring that up there
right,
a little bit?
That's right.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Texans hated me last year.
Well, certainly.
I was pointing out the concussion that Stroud already had, but they didn't say anything.
Certainly 40% of their offensive line hated
me. 40% of their offensive line hated me. Now, I think that Nico Collins is a really good football player. Like, I don't need to see more from Nico for me to determine that he's a really good football player. I think he already is a really good football player. But mine is all from the financial side.
Yeah, that's
of
my
it.
Point of saying, if you're going to give him wide receiver one money, then that for me, I think that's too much because of CJ, because of the system, because I want to see enough to see, because I don't think he's going to stand out and be true wide receiver one in this offense. I don't, and I don't know. It's kind of like the T. Higgins conversation. T. Higgins wants wide receiver one money. T. Higgins thinks he's a wide receiver one, but we really don't know he is until he gets away from Jamar Chase.
I mean, Nico was the number one last year. Undoubtedly, he was the number one receiver for the Texans last year.
I agree.
He was the top half wide
with
receiver
Tank,
one in the league.
Yeah. And then, but, okay. Right, last year. But now I want to see it when he's got this receiver room and the way that the offense, Slowick runs, spreads the ball around. Because another team might say, I don't know, another team might say that he is wide receiver one and want to give him the money. You're going to pay Tank down the road. You're going to have all these different decisions to make. I don't know if CJ is truly receiver proof. If it's worth giving that kind of money to him.
I mean, there's going to be the overlap, though, of paying Tank and paying Nico would only be, what, a year or two? It's not unless they get
both.
Well,
if you space it the way Jeremy says, they could both come up at the same time, too.
Nico and Tank?
Yeah.
Like, if you pay Nico.
2 more years with the franchise
tag? No, I mean,
tag?
Tank has this year and then two more. Tank,
oh,
Tank,
this
yeah.
year and
it's
two
a four-year
more.
Rookie
I thought
deal.
When you said two more. Okay.
So, I mean, Tank's 24, 25. Tank goes through 26
yeah,
on a
so
rookie
if you
deal.
Pay so Nico be, now, right. You're really probably only talking about the last year of that whatever deal you give Nico where you possibly would be paying both guys. And Diggs would be gone.
And, I mean, I think the beauty of this conversation is that we're talking about $5 million AAV,
yeah.
Like it's under $5 million, somewhere in that window. Because if you get them under 20, okay, let's have the conversation.
Yeah, no one would argue that. I don't think.
But if you're talking 25, I'm out on that. 5895. Nico is not going to have a monster year because there are too many targets. That wouldn't bode well for Nico. Corey, just look at what happened when Dallas signed Gallup to a big deal after a good year.
He didn't have a year like Nico had.
I would also say that Gallup wasn't the player that Nico Collins is. I think Nico Collins is a better talent than Michael Gallup.
I agree with that.
Gallup did have a big year. He got hurt after the big year.
He had 1,200 yards? That's what Nico had.
He was close. He had 66 catches, 1,100 yards. Nico had 800, nearly 1,300 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Gallup's year wasn't as big. Gallup, I mean, Gallup went over 1,100 yards, but he wasn't as big as Nico's yard.
No, Nico had way more catches and certainly more touchdowns.
He had 14 more catches.
Okay.
He had 14 more catches, and he played one more game.
About 100 more yards. And
about 200. I mean, Nico was a 1,297 last year.
And he had, what, 12 touchdowns?
Eight.
Nico?
Nico had eight.
Eight? Okay, so two more touchdowns than Gallup in that year.
I mean, it was a bigger year, no doubt.
It was bigger across the board.
And I think that Nico's a better football player than Gallup was. 8755, I would still load up for the Texans. CJ still learning defense. We'll need to win it for him. You're all right, he's a dog, but he's still learning and will eventually be the next receiver-proof. See, I'm also okay with him not being receiver-proof under a rookie deal. It's like, hey, you're under a rookie deal. We're saving money here at the quarterback position. Let's spread it at receiver.
Sure.
But then whenever you pay CJ Stroud, it might be, okay, we're going to bargain Bennett receiver
now
because we're spending all our money at the quarterback position. And I think that's why they traded for Stephon Diggs.
But doesn't
I think
that
that's why they made the rental for Stephon Diggs.
But doesn't that go to the side of pay Nico now? Because you could have that contract in by the time you pay CJ.
It'd be tight because your quarterbacks are usually getting that deal before their fifth-year rookie option. So
if he gave Nico a three-year deal, I mean, obviously this is all dependent on what he and his agent are willing to take.
A year of overlap there.
There might be a year over. I would tolerate
how old
a year
Nico?
Of overlap.
And if we want to go, it's 20,
25,
he's going to be 25. He was 24 last year. But if you want to go even big picture, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley Jr., Harris.
I'm less worried about paying linebackers, but definitely Will Anderson and Stingley are going to get paid.
Yeah, so like they're going to have these decisions to make. And are you going to spend top 10 money on a Nico Collins when you might have a quarterback that doesn't need top 10 receiver around him?
That's why I said when he gets into his first big deal, he's going to have to make the receiver room better because they got a lot of money to have to spread around.
They really do. Now, it's a great problem to have because it means you have really talented players. I much rather have these problems than signing sexy Rexy Grossman. Or I'm not a Burkhead, rather. Like, I don't want to have the fighting Rex Burkheads anymore. So I'd much rather have these deals and these problems and these situations. Like, because these are first world problems as an NFL team. 0315, extend Tank and Stephon, let Nico walk.
Extend Tank?
Not doing that now.
No.
Do y'all think it might be worth trading Nico either midseason or next offseason? Would the ROI be enough to reinvest in the wide receiver position with a new rookie contract?
No.
I wouldn't do it midseason, but I don't hate the tag and trade.
Yeah, tag and trade I'd be fine with if you can't reach a deal. But
that's what T1
I would not trade him in season. You have goals of deep playoff run. You're not going to trade a guy like
that. The caveat here would be if you're having a bad year.
Sure.
If you're having a bad year, then yes. But if we're having the year we expect him to have, I don't hate the tag and trade. Over under 6 games until Diggs starts tripping out about targets.
See.
Under.
Under. Yeah, under.
If they're winning.
They were winning in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think so.
They're winning in Buffalo.
New spot his first year, and you know that
contract year too.
Contract year, and it's going to hurt him if he is bitchy right off the top.
Well, this goes to, I know this is an old conversation at this point, but this goes to why I was kind of against the idea of tearing up the future years of the deal to make it a 1 year deal, because now there's tremendous pressure on him to produce numbers when the ball is going to be super divided between two other top-tier wide receivers in Tank and Nico.
Counterpoint?
You're kind of creating his paranoia.
Well, counterpoint, he has to be on his best behavior, and you get Stephon Diggs in a proven year. Like, that would be the counterpoint there, is that you have the insurance of a second year if you want it. The counterpoint to that counterpoint is you get Diggs on his best behavior in a proven year, and you're getting, like, the absolute most out of Diggs in one singular season.
I'm skeptical on the best
a pretty good second.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
The second for a one-year rental is questionable.
Tough to swallow.
Yeah, I'm skeptical on the best behavior if he doesn't get targets going his way, because he needs the numbers to be able to get that next deal.
8835, a Rex Grossman stray is crazy. It was a slip of the tongue. I meant Rex Burkhead, fighting Rex Burkheads. All right, 713-780-ESPN. How aggressive should the Rockets be this offseason? And who's the name that came up as a name that the Rockets could be interested in this offseason? Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Decoy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I want to tell you guys about HR&P. HR&P is fantastic. Human resources and payroll. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. And business owners, let HR&P help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of these facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. It doesn't matter how small, how big. HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem, an issue, you want to take a little off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. You'll trust that. You'll believe in that. But their service sets them apart. You'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be talking to someone familiar with you, familiar with your business needs. Of course, we use HRMP here at Gal. Anytime I have a question, fire off a quick email. Always a response quickly that's very easy to understand. Very thankful that we use HRMP here. Let HRMP do all the stuff you don't want to do. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, any of the stuff you don't want to do or you need help with. That way you can spend your time back in growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are at the Decoy in Spring Branch. Great spot to spend your Thursdays. Throwback Thursdays, $2 off tequila cocktails, tequila shots, $100 select bottles, Tito's Fireball. Tomorrow's a lady night Friday, Big Sip Saturday. I always get out on the volleyball courts, sand volleyball courts, book those. Cornhole, too, a big tournament coming up this weekend here at the Decoy in Spring Branch. Thanks to them for having us out, too. Great time anytime that we're out here. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. How aggressive should the Rockets be? Kelly Eco had a Q&A with the Rockets general manager, Rafael Stone. And in it, Rafael Stone was asked about how aggressive do you expect the Rockets to be. He said, we're comfortable with our team and we think we're going to improve internally. Because of that, I don't think we're likely to be super aggressive. So Rafael Stone, Rockets will not likely be super aggressive. How aggressive do you think they should be, Blankers?
I think they should be very aggressive in having the conversations necessary to literally turn over every stone to see exactly what's out there, because I think that depending on how comfortable you are, first of all, I think that's a smokescreen. I think that he wants everybody to believe that he's not going to do anything because he can drive up the price of whatever he does want to do internally, whatever they've discussed. But I also think that if you give up Jalen Green and one other young piece and this pick this year and maybe even another pick, and it could mean the difference between standing pat, being comfortable with the guys you have, or adding a true superstar caliber player that could make your team better both short and long term, then you're ridiculous not to.
Yeah, I think that there's some posturing here, too, and I think it's wise. I think all general managers should posture. Yeah, every player we have is great, and we want to keep them. And if you don't want us to keep them, well, you better knock our socks off in order for us to trade them. Same thing with the number three pick. You know, everybody says this draft's not good. Rafael Stone, what do you think about the top three picks in this draft? Oh, it's great. It's really good. There's going to be some diamonds in the rough in this draft. So, yeah, it's posturing, absolutely. The aggressiveness is like it's kind of a hard word to define, and I guess it's, you know, kind of a relative term. I think every general manager should be aggressive all the time. Like, you should be calling every single general manager who's available on your team, who's somebody that you're willing to trade. What are you doing with this high price free or high price salary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a form of aggression. You're talking to everybody around the league. You're getting a feel of, you know, what the landscape of the league is. But when it comes to making a trade, I don't want the Rockets to make a trade for the sake of making a trade.
No.
I don't want them to. So, I mean, that's kind of lack of aggressiveness.
But that's not what I'm saying either, because I think that what you're trying to do is you're trying, and whether you have the conversation, I'm going to take a page out of your book with, I'm not worried about hurting anybody's feelings on this team. So what I'm doing is, even if the rumors get out, I'm having discussions about what it's going to take, and it's going to be only the guys that I feel and deem worthy to have the conversations about. It's not going to be Bridges from the Nets. It's going to be guys that I legitimately think are going to be cornerstones or franchises or really make this team substantially better. And I'm not going to worry about an agent or a player that doesn't like it. And I'm not certainly not worried about Jalen Green's feelings at this point.
Well, no.
What I'm really truly worried about is, I want to make this team better. I know my coach would rather have it sooner than later, have a chance to compete at a different level than they were even this year. So I'm going to be aggressive in trying to see what's out there.
Sure.
And the pursuit of them.
What is the goal, though? Like, if you're Tillman Fertitta, if you're Rafael Stone, if you're Ime Udoka, what's the goal for the Rockets in this period of time? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, if you think about their phases and when they went to this next phase, and I know that, you know, Stone was a little more apprehensive about taking it to where Tillman and Udoka wanted to take it to that next phase too. I think that in this, if you're really trying to make a move, I think you're trying to be a legit playoff team. I think it's not the play-in game or above 500 or hovering. I think you want to be a playoff team with a chance to get home court advantage. You want to take it to the next level. I think that is that's where that next level starts for me.
My goal, and I don't care what they're saying, I want to, like, this is me saying what I think their goal should be. I think the goal of every organization should be to win a title. And I don't think that that's realistic most years. But you should always be working to win a championship. How can we build this team to position itself to be a champion? So a lot of times there's moves that you can make for the benefit of the next season that actually lowers your probability of eventually winning a title. So that, to me, should always be the goal for every organization, every general manager, every owner. What do we need to do in order to win a title? Like, if the Astros are way out of the race in July, okay, we're nowhere close to a title, probably not next year. Let's figure out a way how to rebuild this and rebuild this as quickly as we can, try to get back to a championship. Jeff Luhnow, when he took over this organization, they were awful and losing 100 games. His goal when he took over was to win a title. How are we going to win a title? Well, we need to suck for a few years. That way we can get a top three pick every single year, and we can add a Correa, and we can use the savings on drafting a Correa and a Lance McCullers and an Alex Bregman and a Kyle Tucker. So I think that the attitude and the philosophy should always be, let's do what we got to do to win a title, and that you shouldn't make short-term goals like getting to a round of the playoffs over the long-term goal of winning a championship.
But I think that's a possibility of doing both. I think that you can do that to say that if I'm going to make a trade to bring in a piece, that piece could be a part of a championship-caliber team down the road, but it definitely also takes us to a level where we're competing for a different spot in the postseason, a postseason spot and a solid one, and then I can still use that piece as going to be around long enough for me to continue to put pieces around him, whether that means I'm making more trades, I'm looking for a free agent that kind of comes in to adds that final piece or the next piece. But I have options both ways. But if I truly, and I feel like the owner is driving home more so probably than even your head coach, that he wants to win now.
I don't disagree. I think Tillman's been patient in this whole thing.
I disagree with that. I think
how?
That because
well,
I think
in what ways?
That because I think before this even started this season, and then throughout this season, he was adamant about we're moving it to the next phase. I didn't think they were ready to do that yet. I think at the end of the day, they didn't because they didn't get to the play-in or get to what would be constituted as the next phase for truly winning. And that's not to take away anything that they did.
See, I think his phases are more, these are the processes of building towards a champion. And maybe they're behind schedule, but I don't think Tillman Fertitta is banging on the door of Rafael Stone, hey, trade these players, bring me in a veteran, and get to the first round of the playoffs. Nothing has told me that about Tillman.
I didn't say that, but I do think that I believe that there was more of a push that he wanted to win more consistently, that he wanted to
be. Well, everybody wants to win more consistently.
Okay, but I think that in my opinion, what I heard and the way he was when he was talking to the media and other folks, I heard a guy that was impatient, that wanted to win more and wanted to do it quicker, and if it meant making a move or two, it should be considered. I think he had the backing of a head coach that was kind of along those lines. Now, I think maybe in both cases the brakes were padded. I think Udoka maybe padded the brakes a little bit on his stance of wanting to go more veteran-heavy right away because I think that there were limitations for how far that team could go, whereas I think maybe Tillman also padded the fact that maybe he wasn't on the kind of adamant that he was early on. I'm adamant about taking it to this level right away.
All right, so who are those players
that you could make a move for?
Yeah, that you're talking about that can please both masters of still having the championship aspirations but also help you in 24.
You don't know who you don't, I mean, you don't know who's available, right? The easy answers are Giannis. The easy answers are Embiid.
Giannis, I don't think that's an easy answer. Like, you're going to trade for Giannis?
No,
that's
I'm saying for guys that are there for the short term and the long term. That's the easy part of it.
No, but we're talking about that are attainable.
I don't believe that even a Donovan Mitchell, as much as that's been people have thrown out as a name, and that Windhorst and other guys were saying there's five teams already with offers on the table ready to go because Donovan Mitchell's their guy. I think Donovan Mitchell's dinged up, and I think that health-wise and age-wise, it's a tougher fit for me. So I can't sit there and identify right now that these guys are available and or these guys are the perfect fit. But ideally, you'd like to get a guy in his mid-20s that's still ready to get into his prime, that is going to complement the players you already have, but that you can build around and get another piece to and say, hey, that's your 1-2 punch going for a championship.
I like that idea. Beam a Thug on Twitter, he suggested Donovan Mitchell in a trade he threw out. Maybe it even suggested. He's just like, here's a trade. Jalen Green, Jeff Green, Jayshon Tate, third pick, and then a 2026 from Brooklyn, first round pick for Donovan Mitchell. Would you make that trade?
I would make that trade yesterday.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade for Donovan Mitchell and trade Jalen Green, Jeff Green, Jayshon Tate. I don't care about Jeff Green, Jayshon Tate.
The only guy that you're worried about losing that has value that potentially could be big is Jalen.
I mean, the third pick could turn out to be a great player.
I think. Look, if we're being honest, the draft isn't. I don't think the draft is going to tell you that is telling you that there's a guy there that's going to be like a franchise type player.
See, Donovan Green's like, I think maybe the perfect name for like where we disagree about where this organization's at. Donovan Mitchell. Did I say Donovan Green?
Said Donovan.
Donovan Mitchell is going to be 28 years old. And do I think that Donovan Mitchell and Alpi Shingun and Cam Whitmore and Tari Eason is a championship foundation? I don't think it's even close.
No, I think you win more games in the short term. It depends on how long you're going to have Donovan Mitchell. But I think that, like I said, I don't think he fits the bill of short and long term. But short term, and depending on how long his contract is, if you can then turn that into another player, I think he and Fred VanVleet make a solid backcourt. I think he enhances and makes the guy young. He did it with Cleveland's young roster. He made a lot of guys around him better this year. I think he could make that team better in the short term. Shengun is a guy that he can get a lot out of that is also going to benefit from having a guy that makes shots consistently like him that I believe for the next couple of years they're a better team.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Who are those players that are out there that fit the narrative of making you better next year and in the future? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. He does PRP. He does a whole lot of things that he can help and explain to you in terms of getting your hair back, maintaining the hair that you have, and taking the hair that you have and making it stronger so it's around for the long haul. I went all the way to the extreme of getting the NeoGraft procedure because a lot of people, all they need is PRP. PRP is simply put, it's like fertilizer for your lawn. It's going to make it thicker. It's going to make it stronger. It's going to make it look better. That's one thing that PRP does, and that's something that you can look into. If Doc looks at it, he's going to be honest with you and says, no, PRP, I think you're too far gone. You need the NeoGraft. The NeoGraft is just easily a game changer and one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I did it with Doc because he said he wanted to talk to me about it. Never will regret doing it because he's the best in the business and the results speak for themselves. I'm telling you this because he is the guy that does it better than anybody else. And as he explained it to me, and he can explain it to you too, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head genetically, no matter how much you lose hair in other places. He takes some of that hair, puts it where you need it most. You see the results instantly, but you see the true results in about 6 to 9 months. And because he's taking it from a spot where it never goes away, it's going to be with you for the long haul, probably till the day you die. It's a game changer. And because you listen to us, and I'm telling you about him, and you're interested, if you go to 975hair.com right now, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. Anybody off the street pays $150 for that consultation. Go in, ask questions, get answers, let them explain the procedure to you. It might be that you are the next in line for this great procedure, and you can reap the benefits like I did. It's fantastic. And there's no signing on the dotted line, no commitment, no money out of pocket. It's just a straight question and answer session where you can figure out what the procedure is and decide if it's right for you too. I can't encourage you enough to at least do that because you have nothing to lose and a whole lot of hair to gain. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
4-6-3-1, Blankers. Tillman is happy right now. This is the phase he wants to be in. We were like three games from a play-in, darn near doubled our wins. Tillman is good right now.
Okay, I don't know if you know that, but okay.
All right, it's an opinion.
Right, that's fine. I listen to those press conferences and I hear the phases, and I know that was talking to people too around the team, that was a point of contention internally of where, when they were ready to get to that next phase and who was where in terms of where they felt that they were and needed to go.
These were last year though, right? The press conferences?
Yeah.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN. 8755. Rockets need a center. I don't think Şengün can stay being Rockets center. I think Şengün can stay being Rockets center.
Yeah, I do too.
I do want a backup center that is capable of filling backup minutes and maybe even more than backup minutes, that can also play tight late game. You're subbing in offense for defense, defense for offense, kind of playing that game in the final minute or 2 minutes, because I do think Şengün is a defensive liability.
We talked about whether it be Jalen Duren, whether it be Robert Williams, who Udoka had when he was with the Celtics. That's the kind of guy that is a best complement for a guy like Şengün. Şengün can be your guy that you can go to and run the offense through, that can pass well, that can score well, that can play system defense well enough. But you're still going to need a guy that can clean the glass, can block some shots, still finish around the basket, but he's not going to be as counted on, nor should he be thrown the ball to a lot to be a scoring option. But he's going to give you a huge upgrade on defense when you have to get stops.
9506, I'd be incredibly aggressive, one in the hand, and so on. So getting a for sure star is imperative. If Alpi is knockoff Jokic, then Spider is better Murray. I would hesitate on comparing Alpi Şengün to a top seven center in NBA history. Like, I understand the skill set. I know where people are coming from. It really annoys me, though. Well, Alpi's our Jokic. You're saying that Alpi is a top seven center in NBA history when you say that.
Yeah.
Like, let's be very clear on that.
Yeah, look, I mean, if Alpi's one of your go-to guys for the foreseeable future, that's one thing. But, I mean, again, I think that he constantly takes strays because he's not yoked up and he's not, you know, this massive physical specimen. But if you just watch the Joker play, it's insane to compare anybody in today's game to him. And anybody coming up to say he could be him. It's almost as insulting as comparing anybody to Michael Jordan. It's just, yeah. You understand how high that bar is?
Yep. Trey says, isn't that why they got Steven Adams backup center? Yes, but that's short term.
Yeah,
like, that's not a long term thing.
And even short term, you don't know if he's healthy and if he can stay healthy.
And you might, if you're being super aggressive in the offseason, might be included in a trade.
Because the contract
works
really well.
Because of his contract,
really well.
And it's an expiring contract, which would be appealing to some of these rebuilding teams.
And you don't think Big Steve wants to play on a contender?
I think the Rockets will be a playoff-ish team.
But I think that later in his career, chasing a chance at a championship, I think he probably didn't expect to go to Houston. I think he wanted to go to a team with a legit championship run in the last year and this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a Rocket, but if you make a big trade, it wouldn't shock me if he's in it, and then you do the whole buyout thing, and then now he's on the open market, go
clearly
wherever he wants.
Because if you're putting a package of young players together, and if you're trading for a legit superstar that's on superstar money, you're going to need his contract.
Yeah, maybe. And you mean the Rockets have guys they can include. I mean, Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
It just depends on what the other team wants. I mean, the thing with VanVleet and Brooks, though, is that they're multi-year deals, where Steven Adams is expiring. A team that's rebuilding rather have the Adams contract. 4-6-3-1, there's no move out there the Rockets can make this next season to get a championship level. Got to wait. No need to be aggressive. 3-3-3-8, Mitchell, who can't even play when it matters. Your response to that, Blanker?
I was very grossly disappointed that he didn't play in the last two games of their season.
Very hardened move.
Yeah, I thought that was incredibly soft. I thought that, you know, you would expect him to give it a go because you know your season's on the line. That, I'm not going to lie to you, that one bothered me as well.
Why Alpi be a stretch four and get the freak? That's King of Twitch. He's a silly guy. Rocky says, Edie, bring back, or I don't know, he didn't say bring back. He said, bring Big Zach. Zach Edie. Zach Edie's not your answer.
No, because he's not going to be the kind of guy, athletic rim protector. He can protect the rim a little bit, but athletic, this team likes to play a little bit more up-tempo. He's got to be able to be flexible and guard out on the perimeter and switch and do some things still. And I don't think he's quick enough.
8755, Blankers, Branham, who would y'all think would fit this team legitimately? Who should Stone be calling for? I'm liking Paul George and Donovan Mitchell. Who do you think has a higher upside, Donovan Mitchell or Jalen Green?
upside for the rest of their career?
Yeah. Like, their absolute top ceiling that they can get to from this point going forward.
Oh, I think Jalen still has a higher ceiling of what he could. The potential. Just on potential.
Yeah, just potential.
Jalen Green has more potential right now than Donovan Mitchell.
Mitchell's floor is obviously higher. So if you think that Jalen has a higher potential, do you think Donovan Mitchell, Alpi Shingun, Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore, Amin Thompson, do you think has a championship foundation?
Foundation, no. It goes further in the playoffs for the next 2 years.
Okay. So you're okay with that rather than title?
Right, because in the next 2 years, Fred's expires, Donovan's expires, potentially, and so does Dylan Brooks.
I think that's where our impasse is then. Like, you're okay being a Western Conference semifinal team in the next 3-4 years, where I think that you should always be chasing titles, even if it's at the expense of not being as good in that period of time.
But I think that because of where your roster currently stands and where the money stands currently, you have to be realistic in the fact that it doesn't hurt your long term. You can still chase the chip, but some of the faces may change.
Well, if your high potential player is the guy that's trading, absolutely it lowers your potential to win the championship.
But for the next 2 years, but I don't think you could do that anyway, no matter what you have, one way or the other. Regardless, I don't think you're chasing a chip in the next two, 3 years because of the fact that Brooks and Van Vliet's contracts are killing you.
No, I don't think there's any chance this team can win a title in the next 2 to 3 years. But I'm talking win a title in the next 10 years.
Right.
I think the better chance to win a title in the next 10 years is you keep Jalen Green, unless there's a bigger name that's out there that we don't know of yet. Not Donovan Mitchell.
But
I wouldn't trade Jalen Green for Donovan Mitchell straight up.
Oh, I would.
Straight up.
I would because I
and you're gonna get Western Conference semifinals. You're never
right,
gonna win a championship.
Well,
and I'm probably not either, but I might.
But
I might.
You're getting Western Conference semifinals or whatever it is in years you probably didn't expect to even sniff it. And then his expires. Fred expires, and Dylan Brooks expires, and now you've got a ton of money to play with.
Who's gonna want to come to play with that? They're gonna want to play with Alpi.
If you have all that money, you could conceivably get two max guys.
They have to want to
right.
come here.
But if two max guys, we've seen it in the past, hey, we get a chance to play together and get the money we want, and we can go with a group that's been developed with the other young guys the Rockets have, I think that would entice people.
Maybe. Brandon T., absolutely no to Paul George. I wouldn't.
Who do you poo-poo on more, Paul George or Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I think you can get Paul George for way cheaper than Donovan Mitchell.
I think, honestly, consistently more productivity. Paul George is better right now than Donovan Mitchell.
See, I think you can get Paul George for not Jalen Green. So it doesn't really kill your ceiling, you know? And look, I'm not crazy about Jalen Green. I just think that Jalen Green has potential, and I'm not trading potential for where the Rockets are for maybe getting to a Western Conference semifinal. Because, again, I'm chasing titles.
But the other thing is maybe Jalen Green never reaches his potential.
That's very possible. And then I'm still not going to win a championship just like I would if I had Donovan Mitchell.
But you have a lot more success with wins and losses and probably
from a financial and marketing standpoint,
too.
And that's what I mean. That's where iron passes. And we're not going to change each other's mind. No. And I respect your opinion. But I don't care about losing in the Western Conference semifinals. Like, my goal is always to make moves to win a championship is my ultimate goal. The business side of it, like, it's probably they would want your thing. Hey, let's get playoff games. Let's get a playoff gate. Let's get a Western Conference semifinal. Let's take it to a Game 7. Get some home playoff games where we can sell tickets.
And let's get the fan base 100% behind us again.
Right. As a general manager, I'm just not doing those things. I'm trying to win a championship over, like,
fair.
Hey, let's get to the Western Conference semifinals and be very, slightly above average.
Because sometimes that turns out to be Sam Hinkie.
Yeah, Hinkie didn't get a great chance in Philly.
But I think he was thinking exactly how you're thinking, and I think that he had the groundwork to do that. He wasn't even allowed to see it through.
Yeah. I think it's Jeff Luhnow. Like, I think that every move that Jeff Luhnow ever made was to win a World Series, and he was willing to sacrifice the current for the future. And I think that's how all general managers should be. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's Killer Bees live from the Decoy in Spring Branch on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Suavemente, bésame. Que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suavemente, besame.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Thank you to the Decoy for having us out. Always a great time. You're looking for a spot to have a drink in the Spring Branch area, you got to make it the Decoy. If you're looking for a place to play a little sand volleyball, make it the Decoy. If you're looking for the Tyson Fury fight, that's this weekend. That's Saturday. Tyson Fury's dad got that. He got cut up with the head knock. I'm going to watch that. I love watching some boxing. I'm going to save this one for a cash him or trash him. I almost let it slip, but that's a good cash him or trash him. I better write that down. Christian Javier, you heard the music. Suavemente. What do you want from Javier today? What are we asking here?
Man, I was thinking about that on the way in.
Last start was pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Well, I want 5 innings. I'm selling it short, but I kind of need 5 innings. But I want 5 innings, 2 runs.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I will definitely
take that. Are you
kidding
me?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say 5-3, which I think I also would have taken.
It's the A's. I think he can get by with 5-2.
A's have a better record than the Astros.
I would take 5-2.
Aren't they tied?
No, the A's are percentage points. It's percentage points.
Oh, it's percentage.
Because they played
one up in the win column, though, right? Is that what it is?
Sounds right. I think they're one up in both columns.
Okay. So they'd be one full game up then. If they're one up in both.
A's are 19 and 26. Astros are 18 and 25. They're one up in both categories, so they're not one up.
Okay.
One up would be 19 and 24.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So it's the A's winning percentage is 422, Astros 419. But they're both 5.5 games back.
Okay.
So it's like weird math. I was a math major for a semester, and they kicked me out of the program. I would take 5 innings, 2 runs. Absolutely 5 innings, 2 runs. Give me that every single day.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That'd be nice to get a sweep. Nice to get a sweep. It would be, 5 wins in a row? It'd be 7 of the last 8.
7 of 8
not bad.
And a four-game sweep.
Four-game sweep. All right, what do we nominate? Let's get to our car wreck of the day.
Awesome. You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You brick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. What you got, Blankers?
I honestly don't. I forgot which one I had, and I'm not going to steal Brian's. So you guys go first. Let me see if I can find mine.
I wanted to nominate the NFL on those two teams with no divisional game in the first, 10 weeks of the season?
10 or 11.
I missed that. The Blankers told me that earlier. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I heard or read
Steelers-Bears, maybe?
Well, you saw the report that the NFL had to factor in Taylor Swift's tour schedule to make the NFL
No,
schedule.
I don't believe that.
No, that's 100% true.
Because she's in a stadium?
Yeah, because she's.
Oh, played. That's normal.
Yeah, I know it's normal. I'm just saying. It's funny considering what we know overall with the NFL's love affair that Taylor Swift is involved in all these broadcasts.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. But yeah, I'll nominate the NFL for doing that. What do you guys got?
I'd like to nominate DJ Bieniemy's barbecue takes. That was just, I mean, I think that should win. I'll go ahead and say it now. Then my other one, I'd like to nominate the terrible fans of Kansas City. They've had a lot of low moments recently. And apparently someone amongst their group stole Xavier Worthy's car. So, shout out to the terrible fans of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is it Bush League or not to say Rashee Rice was the theft, was the guy who stole it? Is that Bush League or not?
Is it too soon or is it too rude?
Asking for a friend.
The odds are north of 0%.
Didn't they do a documentary on the super fan that was Robin Banks?
Yeah. Either they did one or they're making one.
Yeah, I think one or the other.
I think it's in progress.
Did you see the Chargers schedule release?
Yes.
A lot of these schedule releases are bad. They're not great.
Oh, they went over the top with criticizing other players and stuff.
They did a Sims edition, but every single opponent.
Yes.
They would have like they would burn every single team. Yeah. It was so fun. The Chiefs one was the guy sitting in the courthouse, and the judge was Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk. And then they did one on Boston, the Patriots, because they play the Patriots, and they did a retirement home, and they had like Brady drawing a picture of himself, and they had Paul Pierce in the wheelchair, and he pooped his pants.
Yeah,
like that was great.
They took a lot of shots. I actually watched. I'm ashamed to mention this, but I watched like 13 of the schedule release videos yesterday.
I watched every one that the Texans played, plus the Chargers.
Yeah, and most of them weren't great.
Oh, to see what they said about the Texans.
Yeah,
the Chargers one was great.
The Chargers one was fantastic.
I thought the Bears one was pretty good.
I don't remember that one actually.
The Green Bay
I did
one.
Watch it.
I didn't think the Green Bay one was very funny, but they packed it with cameos.
Yeah, they did.
They packed it with cameos.
I didn't think it was
surprising
good.
That they could find anybody.
Patriots.
They had Aaron Andrews. They had Joe Buck. They had
Braun Strowman. He was wearing a Texan shirt.
Yeah, they had a ton
Aaron
of people
Andrews
on that.
Is a closet Packer fan.
Is she? Yeah. They had the Patriots one was pretty good. They
I
had
haven't
a,
watched that one.
Julian Edelman was basically Matt Damon from
Good Will Hunting.
And he was the guy with the genius.
Stuck the schedule on the window.
Yeah, and then Gronkowski was like right there behind him each step of the way. Like that was actually a pretty good one. They did good.
Did you hear the Edelman? He was on a podcast the other day where he said to really show the true what it takes to be Tom Brady with his discipline. He would sit there and deeply inhale all the offensive linemen's on their wing day when they were eating their chicken wings, but he would never consume them because it was bad for him part of, like, showing his discipline. I'm like, come on, man.
Chicken wings aren't even that bad for you.
That is weird.
It's just a deep fried
dish. Keto.
Yeah. It just depends on, like, I mean, if you're loading it up with some, like, bad sauces for you.
Right.
Did we ever nominate, speaking of Paul Pierce, did we ever nominate him in the last couple of days?
I mean, we can nominate
pants?
Him.
No.
We can nominate, he
dropped an N-bomb.
Yeah, I think we brought
that
up.
He's allowed.
On
he's
FS1,
allowed. You're not allowed. I'm not allowed. I'm more allowed than you are.
Whoa, time out.
Because you're 2% allowed.
3%.
Oh, 3%.
In reference to Dante DiVincenzo,
he can say it, and okay. I'm not one to
I
tell him that he can't.
I understand what you're saying, but not on broadcast television.
I can't tell him that he can't.
I think FS1 should.
I can't tell him that he can't. That's I'm not in that conversation. 3%, maybe. NBA for putting on Draymond Green on TNT. Tyson Paul, July 20th. I thought that was in June.
No,
did you see them go face-to-face and try to look all intense? And then it was like, that's why I'm worried about that.
This fight's going to massively
They were giggling people. Giggling and pushing each other at the end.
It's going to be for sure.
It's fake. It's rigged.
It's going to be for sure.
And then
since
Alex
we always have an Astros take, is it not fair to say the Astros offense against Aaron Brooks?
All right, what's winning?
DJ be enemy.
All right, DJ, congratulations. Car Wreck of the Day. It does it for us. Thanks to the Decoy for having us out. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
ESPN 97.5.